The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Jason Peter in the house with us as we get ready for our Under the Helmet segment. And I tell you what, Jason, so much for rest and relaxation during the summer months, because there has been a series of scandals dominating college football's offseason. We are so delighted to have you with us to kind of give us your insight and perspective. It certainly has been a wild 2 weeks. What do you think about all this?
Well, are we hinting at the Ohio State controversy? Honestly, for me, I mean, if it was a superstar, then I can understand it. But Terrell Pryor has just been this guy who is, you know, all about potential. Every time somebody brings up Terrell Pryor, every year that a new season starts, it's always about what this guy can do or what this guy hopefully will do. It's never about what he's done. There's always this idea that he's going to take his game to the next level. And for me, it never has been. You know, people just, I don't know, they consider him to be this Peyton Manning-esque type quarterback, and he's just not done it for me.
He has not lived up to his potential. Love or hate him, though, I mean, he did bring Jason a lot of stability to the Buckeyes quarterback position for the past 3 years.
Yeah, stability at, I guess, so-so play. You know, I think when you want a great quarterback, all part of that is the character, the leadership qualities, and this is something that I don't think that he's shown. You know, when you compare him to some of the Ohio State quarterbacks in the past, a Troy Smith, somebody like that, you know, that leadership was his shtick. I mean, that's what Troy Smith was. He was a leader, and that was the year that they won a national championship, I believe. Maybe I'm a year off, I'm not sure, but he is a guy that was a competitor, and that's why he's still hanging around in the NFL.
I guess I'm not surprised, though, with Terrell Pryor announcing earlier this week on Tuesday, with his attorney, by the way, that he would not be playing for the Buckeyes. I mean, he was already going to be suspended for the first 5 games of the 2011 season for, you know, selling memorabilia in exchange for cash and improper benefits. So really, his back was against the wall. I mean, did he have any other choice? And do you think that he can make the leap and go to the next level, or is he going to have to go play in the CFL a while?
I think he's probably going to have to change positions, but that's just me. I don't see a pure pocket passer there, and I don't think anybody would want him to be a pure pocket passer, but you got to be able to throw the ball and have some kind of accuracy. I think a lot of people right now are comparing him to Cam Newton. He doesn't throw a nice a ball as Cam Newton, and I'm not the biggest Cam Newton fan, but if I had to pick between the two, I'm going with Cam Newton. Terrell Pryor, he's a big guy. I don't know what type of toughness he has, if you could even put him at tight end. You know, you got to be able to take some shots there. But it doesn't matter what position you play. If you're not a guy who has a great work ethic, who's constantly, you know, putting the team first, you're not going to survive. And, you know, now he was in a position where he was probably going to get some extra opportunities in terms of, you know, probably being a draft pick. You know, if Cam Newton can be the first pick in the draft, he can certainly find his way into probably the top 2 rounds. But now you got to go a different route. Now you're going to have to go, you know, the CFL or the UFL, and now you're going to have to make it like a free agent would. And you got to go out and prove yourself to be the player that the NFL, I think, maybe expects you to be. You know, it's a lot easier, even, you know, when you're comparing college football to, say, the UFL or Canadian, I guarantee you it's a lot easier to be successful in college football than it is in the USL or up in Canada. Because the level of competition is just, you know, you're dealing with guys that were successful in college, and, you know, when you're talking about college football, you got guys that when they play their last game, their senior year, that's it for them. They pack up the shoes, the helmet, the shoulder pads, and they won't see a field again. When you talk about the UFL and the Canadian, sure, it's not at the NFL level, but it's a step up from college, so it's that much more difficult to be successful, to be that superstar.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. You can also go to Jason's website, jasonpeter.com. And, you know, there's been a lot of reports out, you know, the Buckeyes, all the autographs that Terrell Pryor, he was paid between $20,000 and $40,000 to autograph memorabilia during his career at Ohio State. A tremendous temptation. I mean, should he have walked away from it all? I'm sure that's difficult. I mean, Jason, what was it like for you at Nebraska when you would see people walking around on campus or, you know, there in Lincoln wearing your jersey and knowing that, you know, you're not going to get a lick of money for any of that?
It is difficult. It's very difficult. You walk into restaurants and bars and, you know, there's posters of you up on the wall. There's signed 8x10s, helmets, jerseys, and make no mistake about it. I mean, people spend time in those establishments because they're going there for the memorabilia, for the atmosphere. So in a way, you're tied into that, and you get nothing out of it, right? I mean, not a free dinner, a free drink. You know, so I do understand where there is temptation, but, you know, for us, and I know it's a different time, but we came to school because we wanted to win a championship, and that was it, bottom line. I mean, the temptation was certainly there. I mean, the carrot was dangling, but you just got to have some self-discipline. You know, you got to know the consequences, and for us, We weren't willing to put the careers or the eligibility of 130 or 40 other guys on the team in jeopardy because we wanted a little perk. And that was something that Coach Osborne always preached to us, that just because you're the starter, that doesn't make you any more important to this team than, you know, the third-string offensive guard. Because that third-string offensive guard, maybe he doesn't get to run out on game day, but he's the guy who's getting you prepared to play each and every game on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, one way or another, everybody's got an impact. And he preached that all the time. And part of it, I think, you know, was he never wanted any one of us to have an ego where we felt we were more important than anybody else. We always felt we had to go out and earn our job every single day, that not for one day we could think that we could take the day off from practice and we can just kind of half-ass it around there and that our job would still be waiting there for us on Saturday. You had to go out, you had to work, and that was just the way it is. But nowadays, you know, I think a lot of it is, what can they do for me? What can the university do for me? What can this guy that, you know, has befriended me, what can he do for me? Because I'm the star, right? I'm the kid who had 100 articles written about him when I was in high school, and I'm the kid who the so-called experts said this guy's going to be a future first-rounder. You know, these guys, they show up on campus, and they think everybody owes them something. And that's a completely opposite mentality of when, you know, I went to school. And I'm not a guy who says, oh, back when we played, it was right and this is wrong. I understand the times have changed, but I don't know where it comes from, if it goes back to some of the parenting or you know, some people, the way that they're bringing their kids up. And now it is all about the kids, and it seems like the parents kind of take a backseat to the kids, and I don't know. It's just, you know, I come from a family where you had to fight for everything on the table, and you had to fight for you know, any type of success that you had, and you know, my father wasn't there patting me on the back every single time I walked off the field saying, man, you're the best and you did the best job out there today. I mean, you know, the compliments were few and far between, but when they came, they certainly meant something.
Well, and I'm curious, Jason, you know, you've talked a lot about your family. You come from a very stable home. I mean, obviously for you and Christian, it was probably a lot easier to avoid those types of temptations and not risk your eligibility because, you know, you probably, I'm going to assume you got a stipend every month. I just think about the kids that come from, you know, such, you know, lacking in their background.
I mean, it's tough. You know, there are a lot of kids that come from dirt and they don't have much. And now all of a sudden, there's an opportunity to eat for free or, you know, away from the training table. And when they were growing up, I mean, heck, if somebody offered them some food, they were taking it. And so I understand that. But, you know, I mean, when I look back at my college career, my parents, the only thing they helped me with, and it wasn't, you know, completely, was some rent. And, you know, we weren't staying in the Four Seasons. I mean, we stayed in an apartment like everybody else, just so I could have a couple extra bucks each month. Now, this goes back to the NCAA, and this is an argument that, you know, we'll continue to have for years and years and years, and whether or not they need to do something so that kids have a couple extra bucks in their pocket. But, you know, my parents also, you know, they didn't spoil us. I mean, you know, I got my brother's hand-me-downs, and then my younger brother got my hand-me-downs. you know, I think that was part of it. And I think it was also a big reason as to our drive when we were here at school was I wanted to be a first-round draft pick. I wanted to have that type of success. And there was, I think, a lot of tunnel vision, I think, in both my mind and my brother's mind, whereas we weren't going to let anything else kind of get in our way. We were going to be successful, and we were going to do whatever we needed to do, whether it was in the gym, the football field. You know, not it's hard to, I guess, pinpoint one reason why kids are doing it these days. Because no two kids are alike, and just because one kid does it doesn't mean that's the reason why the other kid's doing it. But I do understand your point, and you know, that's a reason why I think the NCAA has to continue looking at doing something for these kids.
Jason, we're quickly running out of time. Of course, one of the big headlines this week in terms of some of the scandals potentially was Colt McCoy's wife suggesting Texas players routinely offer perks. What was your thought? I did have a chance to listen to the podcast on ESPN's Colin Cowherd and his show, and certainly have some strong opinions about this.
Well, it's funny. When I was in the NFL, every once in a while there'd be a player's wife that would show up on a radio show or a television show, and she'd be offering her opinion. And mind you, that she had no journalism experience or never did anything, but you know, and I think you see it a lot in college when, you know, something's going poorly for a kid, and now all of a sudden you're hearing about, you know, from the mother or the father about what the offensive coordinator is doing wrong. I think some people should probably just keep their mouths closed unless they are a journalist, unless they're someone who's got credentials. You know, she's more than welcome, I guess, to start a blog and to write about her experiences at Texas. But to me, it just seemed like, you know, in a way, she didn't throw anybody directly under the bus, but she did talk about how some guys that were teammates of Colt didn't have the same type of willpower and discipline to say no to some of the perks, I guess you could say, in playing on a national championship-type team. You know, the free dinners, the free fishing trips, the relationships with, you know, some of these people in the community. And, you know, in a way, sure, you didn't throw anybody directly under the bus, but you kind of did when you said that you saw some 19, 20-year-old kids teammates of Colts not have the same type of discipline.
Well, and you have to wonder if Colt McCoy, they had a little fireside chat and said no more impromptu phone calls with Colin Cowherd on a national radio show, because, you know, I know she didn't make any specific allegations, but just general comments like that, that's going to prompt, you know, further investigation, and who knows where this could end up. But Jason, we've gone over, and we certainly appreciate the time, and I'm not sure if we'll get a chance to catch up with you next week as the baby is on the way, so just text me and let me know.
Absolutely, and let's hope Let's hope we have some more testosterone in this house.
Another number 55, right?
Oh, we can only wish, Alyssa.
Congratulations. We'll talk to you here real soon. Thanks, Jay.
All right. Thanks, E.
We're going to step aside. Much more in just a moment.